addict, alcoholic. Sitting in my chair, I thought of about 1,000 things I wanted to say when I got up here, but as always, it leaked out of my head on the way to the podium. So I guess I'll just have to wing it. I stood up here at this podium, except it was against that wall, a couple years ago at this same meeting. So it was kind of, I kind of had to laugh when they asked me to do it today. I don't know why that struck me as funny, because I came in here, I haven't been to this meeting in months, maybe even a year. And I walked through the door and they're like, hey, want to do the 10 minute? And I'm like, okay, sure, why not? So I'm almost 6 months clean. I will be in about a week. As I'm sure you can all put two and two together, I've been in and out since I was here a couple years ago, and now I'm only 6 months clean. The last time I went out, as it says in one of our readings, I went back where I was before and worse. Just a real brief rundown. Started using real young. I was like 11 or 12. Went through middle school and high school using the whole time. I lost a lot of friends along the way. My best friend is now in prison for murder. Most of my friends that I used to have are either in jail or dead. Been in, you know, a lot of car accidents, a lot of injuries. My first cardiac arrest at 17. And so my body took a real beating, but that was nothing to the emotional beating I took. And even that was nothing to the spiritual beating. My spirit was in a coma when I came in here. You know, I had really no conscience by the time I got here. I didn't really care about anyone except me. But of course I told myself I did. I was like, no, I'm a good person. I love people. I care about people. But I really didn't. It was just something I said to make myself feel better, I think. So, you know, back in 2009, end of the summer, was when I hit my first bottom, had that moment of clarity and decided to go into treatment. It was a really hard time in my life. That was, you know, after losing several friends, losing my home, losing my job, losing a car, all that stuff. And finally I was just like, you know, what am I doing? That was the first time that I ever realized I was an addict. The denial, I think, before was so strong that it never even crossed my mind, even though, you know, everyone around me was like, Kelly, you're a drug addict. And I was like, no, I'm not. Come on. I was like, I'm a teenager. All teenagers get, you know, they get high and get drunk like I do. We all do, you know. And for me, that was true because all my friends did, but I didn't realize that my friends only made up like 1% of the high school population. So, you know, that... But I had a very narrow view, so everyone that I knew did it, but I thought I knew everybody, which was obviously not true. So all those people, you know, ended up, like I said, gone. I'm one of the very, very few lucky ones who's here. In fact, I don't think any of my using friends are in recovery. I'm the only one. So, yeah, I went into treatment, and... I got sober, I stayed sober for a few months, and then I went back out, and I came back, and I managed to stay sober for a whole year, but then I realized I was basing my whole recovery on, I gotta get that year chip, that was all I was looking at, and once I got it, I was like, well, what now? Okay, so I just went and used again, and so it was, people ask me what's different this time, you know, I've had several people say, well, what's different, why, what makes you think you're gonna stick around this time, and you know, it says in the big book that frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices, and I realized that that was what I was running on for a really long time. It was that honeymoon, that pink cloud, whatever you want to call it, that kept me going, and maybe I'd last a month, 2 months after that wore off, but then it was like I didn't want it anymore because it got boring, it got old, it got stale, and I didn't want to do it. And this time the difference is that I don't really have any of that frothy emotional appeal. You know, it's just, for me, it's just become a part of me, a part of my way of life that I've come to accept. Plus, I think I hit a whole new level of bottom the last time I went out there. Like I said, back where I was before and worse. you know, again, lost my home, lost my job, lost my car. When I lost my car this time, I decided, well, why don't I just steal somebody else's? So I ended up stealing cars, several of them, eventually getting caught. And I have no idea why, but the police decided not to arrest me. They took me into the station. They arrested the people I was with because they had prior convictions, they had warrants, all that, and then they looked at me and they just said, get out of here. And I was like, it was weird. You know, I've always had cops harass me for when I'm not doing anything. So for me to be doing something and them to let me go, I was just like, are you serious? They were like, yeah, just get out of here before we change our mind. I was like, okay. I wasn't going to argue with them, so I got away on that. And that kind of just made me realize, like, you know, what if they hadn't been feeling generous that day? You know, I could have been away on, you know, numerous counts of Grand Theft Auto. And I would have been screwed. I would have been in prison for a very long time. Not to mention the drugs, the alcohol. You know, they could have put me away for a really long time, and they chose not to. Not to mention that I could have been dead being out there. There's that. You know, but coming back, I've just come to realize what a blessing this program is. And for me to stand up here again, you know, a couple years after the last time, I think one of my greatest sources of strength and inspiration is that I can look out over everybody and I see some of the same faces that have been here year after year. No matter what goes on with me, you know, I come in, I go out, I come in, I go out, I go do this, I go do that, I move away, I come back. And there's people that are still here. The same people that have been here since I came in, have been here through my relapses, and are still here and are still welcoming me back. Even after everything I did, you know, I got so close to some people in this program, and when I went out this last time, I mean, I burned all of them real bad. And I didn't think they were ever going to forgive me. I was like, there's no way. You know, they're not. If somebody did that to me, I would say screw them, and I would never talk to them again. But the people here who have been here seem to have a certain level of serenity, a certain level of forgiveness that they're capable of saying, you know, it's not okay what you did, but I understand, and it's okay that you came back, and we don't hate you. And, you know, that's what I mean when I say this program is such a blessing. Not only did it save my life, but it saved my soul. And I now actually have friends who aren't friends of mine for the money or the drugs or anything like that. It's not because they want something from me. The people who are my friends today are my friends because they want to be around me, because they like me, because they enjoy my company, not because of something I have to give them. And the same for me. I finally can be around people without, what can I get from them? You know, can I borrow some money? Can I borrow your car? Can I get this? Can I get that? Will you take me here? Drop me off here? I don't want anything from them. I don't need anything from them. They don't need anything from me. We're just friends because we like each other. And that's so new for me from being out there since as long as I can remember. You know, my first friends that I ever had were the friends who gave me drugs. And so it's just new for me, and it's such a blessing. You know, I could go on and on for hours about everything this program's done for me, but I think that's the most important, that it showed me what friendship is and gave me my soul back and saved my life. So thanks. With that, I'll pass.